Chapter 7.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
When John slipped into the cell that night, Obi-Wan was waiting for him. He didn't know how to explain why he'd missed the previous night. It was too embarrassing to mention his nightmare and Master Windu's careful handling. He didn't know how to say that he'd spent the rest of the night pressed into the corner of his room, wide awake, waiting for delayed punishment. Obi-Wan would think he was irrational, pitiable, and John shocked himself with how much he didn't want that. He liked the other Padawan. Obi-Wan was dedicated, smart, and a good sparring partner. John could talk to him. He wasn't about to throw that away over a stupid nightmare. But Obi-Wan didn't ask. Instead, the older Padawan walked him through several Ataru Katas, then saluted him to start an open spar. And sparring with Obi-Wan was fun. Now that both of them were proficient Shadow Walkers, John had to give himself wholly to the Force to keep up. Obi-Wan flipped into the air and disappeared. John force-pushed him into positions that he appeared into only after the fact. They both dropped from the ceiling and sprung up from the floor. It was nothing like how they sparred in class, or even how he sparred with Master Windu. With Master Windu, John stressed about making a mistake, about reverting to Shicho, which everyone in the temple called the initiate's form. With Obi-Wan, John didn't have time to think. There was only room in his focus for strike, parry, lunge, step into shadow, and out into a flip. John might have had more tricks up his sleeve, but now that Obi-Wan could shadow walk, their matches were far more even. John was fast and small, but rumor said that Obi-Wan was being trained by one of the best duelists the Order had ever seen, and it showed. The only thing that really gave John a chance was his versatility, switching between several forms with ease, even if he preferred Nimen and Shicho, and his sheer reliance on the Force. Even with Obi-Wan's incorporation of shadow walking, he was still often unprepared for the ease with which John tossed him and tripped him. John's greatest strength was unpredictability, and it was only this that often let him duel Obi-Wan to a standstill. No doubt Dark Woman would have punished him for his performance, but John was having fun. For once, he was in a place where he didn't have to care about her judgment. "Good hit," John said finally, when Obi-Wan managed to slide behind him and hook his lightsaber under John's chin. Unfortunately, he was too short for a headbutt. Maybe the healers and Master Windu had a point about him being small. Obi-Wan huffed. John heard the distinct sound of someone dropping to the mat and turned to see the other Padawan on his back, breathing hard. "I think I get more of a workout at night with you than I do during the day." John tilted his head and sank to the mat across from him. "I thought," he hesitated, "isn't your master one of the Order's best duelists?" John forced himself to stay relaxed, even as Obi-Wan tensed. There were shadows everywhere. Escape was only a step away. To his surprise, Obi-Wan sagged. His expression turned miserable for an instant before it slid beneath a mask of placid calm. "My master isn't, well, he isn't really training me right now." John frowned. "Why not?" Obi-Wan turned on his side to face him, but kept his eyes focused somewhere over John's left shoulder. His voice was remote and very, very calm. "I messed up on our last mission, got hurt, and one of his friends died. Master Qui-Gon's grieving." There was a lot to unpack there, and John thought it over before replying. As far as he was aware, as far as Dark Woman had taught him, Jedi weren't supposed to be attached enough to grieve. There is no death, only the Force. It seemed improper for a master to neglect his student because of emotion. Beyond that, John had a hard time imagining Obi-Wan messing up badly enough to get someone killed. John, sure, but the older Padawan was so skilled and put together that he couldn't imagine him failing like that. Some instinct told him that Obi-Wan wouldn't appreciate that reasoning. John opted for a hesitant, "I'm sorry?" Obi-Wan's laugh was ugly. John watched as he scrubbed a hand roughly down his face and then left it there, hiding his eyes. "Maybe Master Qui-Gon should have just left me on Bandimir. If I'd never become a Jedi, maybe Master Tall would still be alive. And that was a lot of information John had no context for. What do you mean? Obi-Wan uncovered his eyes, blue-green, slightly red and puffy, but evaluating John all the same. He stared at John like he was looking for something. It's not a pretty story. And you're 11, Obi-Wan said, like it was something he was considering for the first time. It took all of Darkwoman's harsh lessons to stop John from rolling his eyes. I think that my 11 and the Temple's 11 are different things. If there was a bit of dry sarcasm sneaking into his voice, Obi-Wan didn't react to it. John offered him jagged honesty. Darkwoman had me kill for the first time when I was 9. Obi-Wan flinched and stared at him in horror. Maybe that had been a bit too much truth. Jedi are not killers, Darkwoman said in his memory. We seek to preserve all life because the Force is in all things. Sometimes, however, we must take one life to save many. This is a hard lesson, among the hardest I will teach you, but you must learn it. John still dreamed about that fight, about the way the slaver's eyes emptied when the deflected blaster bolt caught him beneath the chin. Darkwoman had been unusually kind after that mission, hadn't even yelled at John for throwing up. Do you understand now? She had asked. We must not become unrepentant killers, because down that path lies darkness. John didn't tell Obi-Wan any of that, because the pity in his eyes was already too much. The other Padawan must have seen it, and John was grateful when he looked away. Obi-Wan cleared his throat. You might have a point, Obi-Wan conceded. And so, Obi-Wan told him, about coming closer and closer to aging out of the temple, and Master Yoda's insistence that Master Qui-Gon Jinn would be a good fit. About a last-ditch attempt to catch the Master's attention with a foolish duel. About being shipped off to the Agrikor and Bandimir. He told John about being captured by Xanatos, Master Qui-Gon's former, fallen apprentice, and then being enslaved in a deep-sea mine. Finally, he talked about offering to blow himself up, and Master Jinn's decision to take him on after all. Obi-Wan was right. It wasn't a pretty story. Disappointment settled low in John's gut as he realized that he wished he hadn't heard it. Maybe I wasn't meant to be a Jedi, Obi-Wan said. John didn't need to feel him in the Force to hear his bitterness. I certainly can't seem to stop messing up. John stared at him, mind spinning. He was disappointed, but not in Obi-Wan. He'd thought Master Windu had been so kind to him, so gentle. Temple life was supposed to be safe, he said. Padawans were supposed to be protected. No one went on missions or got put in danger until they were ready. Everyone thought Darkwoman was bad, that she had hurt him and trained him poorly, but Master Jinn had cast Obi-Wan off, let him be enslaved, and almost blow himself up. Sure, he had been older than John was now, but everyone kept insisting that the temple was different. John couldn't reconcile Master Windu and his offer of tea after nightmares with Master Jinn, who sounded like Darkwoman and her motto of learn or die. That meant someone was lying to him. He didn't want it to be Master Windu, but Obi-Wan was slumped on the sparring mats, voice remote and cold and pained, and John knew he wasn't lying. This must have been what Darkwoman meant when she told him to note the temple's flaws. John had thought she meant they were too soft, but it turns out they were hypocrites. Just like she'd taught him, a Jedi's purpose was to sacrifice all that they were and could be, up to and including their life. John steeled himself and released the disappointment to the Force. If this is what would be expected of him, he could handle it. If temple life was to replicate Darkwoman's training, he was more than prepared. At least he had a safe place to sleep and a master who hadn't hurt him yet. He had Obi-Wan, who John thought, after this clearly personal story, was a friend. Decided, John scooted closer to Obi-Wan on the mat, who had shrunk into himself more and more the longer John said nothing. Whenever Master Windu wanted John to pay attention, he squeezed his shoulders. It didn't hurt, and he had a feeling it was meant to be a comfort. Everyone in the temple was casual about touch, and John didn't know any other way to get his point across. He reached out, careful and slow, and put a hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder. The other Padawan, his friend, watched him, eyes wide with shock. John squeezed, slightly awkward. "I think," he started carefully, "that you were meant to be a Jedi, Obi-Wan. If you didn't get an easy start, it was the will of the Force." John stopped, but more words were pushing at the back of his throat, and the Force was whispering, "Speak, speak, speak." "But you already are a good Jedi, and if your master won't help you get even better, then I will." That might have been the most words he'd strung together in a row since he was a child, just barely starting to train. Obi-Wan's expression crumbled, and for a brief second, John panicked. Except then, Obi-Wan reached out, put a hand on John's shoulder, and squeezed back. Obi-Wan grinned. It wasn't his usual expression, charming and sweet, but something far more jagged. John couldn't help but like it more than the false one. "Thank you, John," Obi-Wan murmured. "You're a good friend." John ducked his head and barely managed to stop the blush. There's another technique I can teach you. It's not the most fun, but it's useful." He wasn't sure if it was right to offer. He'd thought for sure that Master Windu wouldn't like it. But if Obi-Wan could heal himself, then he wouldn't have to worry about slowing his master down. Maybe it would help. Obi-Wan sat up, but carefully didn't dislodge John's hand. "What technique?" John frowned. He didn't particularly want to injure himself on purpose, not for a demonstration. Maybe... He let go of Obi-Wan and slid up the left sleeve of his tunic, revealing a particularly nasty bruise from deflecting the hilt of Obi-Wan's lightsaber. "Watch," he said. John concentrated, directing the Force to heal capillaries and sweep away the discoloration. It hurt, of course, but nothing like healing a broken bone. When he finally blinked spots out of his eyes, the bruise was gone and Obi-Wan was gaping. "Is that the type of Force healing they do in the halls? How do you know how to do that?" Obi-Wan demanded. John shrugged. "I'm not sure what they do in the halls, but Dark Woman said most Jedi won't use this method because it hurts. I'm forcing my body to heal in a way it doesn't want to. It'll usually scar, but it's meant for combat emergencies anyway." Obi-Wan paused. "I haven't studied Force healing, but can't you numb the nerves so it doesn't hurt?" John hesitated. "Dark Woman said that wasn't compatible with this technique. Numbing the nerves takes time, and I'm not so much speeding up the healing process as welding things back together." Obi-Wan frowned, deep in thought, before nodding once. "All right, I want you to teach me." John almost wished he'd said no. End of chapter 7.